So the title today is Back into the Market. When we hear this back into the market, I guess for some people it's, oh, finally, I can go back home. Finally, I can do something other than nothing. Finally, I will be able to get into my list of things to do and hopefully go down. And some people think that, some people feel, oh my God, what am I going to do in the market? What is going to happen once I'm back home? Without the support of each other, without the structure, without the good meals, perfectly on time, without the rain. What are we going to do? Forgotten how to walk without umbrella. And they are both valid. And yet both are reactions or fears. And both reactions point to see this, which what you are, we are doing now, these days, as something separate from our daily life. And we can say, yes, in a way it's different, usually from what we do in our daily life. And yet, every single thing that is happening here is and has to be totally related to our daily life. Otherwise, I would say there is no point in being here. There is this this 10 drawings they come from the Zen tradition. I don't remember which master paint them, but these are the 10 drawings of the ox and the person taming the ox. And the beautiful thing for me about these 10 pictures that I'm going to speak a little bit about them is that it explains the process in a very beautiful and clear way. And the tricky thing would be to see the process as one direction process, like step one, step two, step three, step four, instead of a dance between the step one, the two, the three, the two again, the one again, the five, the three, and letting that be a dance. So there is the sense, the first picture, of the seeking the ox. But in the seeking the ox, there is actually no clue about the ox. Like, we have lived our lives without any idea that there could possibly be an ox. There could possibly be something other than what I'm doing and my worries and what people tell me that I should do and my university degree and my job and my blah, blah, blah. So it's a kind of a state that maybe we saw ourselves in, or we see many times, like many, many people in that state, where the question of spirituality, the question of like, is there something else within, or is there something we could do to change, to waken up this inner sensitivity? This is not part of the question for many people. And this doesn't mean that these people are bad people. Probably we were before. And we had the bad luck of having to have the bad luck of just that we happen to think that maybe there is something else. And then we started seeking this something else. The seeking of the ox. There is a sense, there is an intuition that might be something else, but still no clue of what that is, or even what is the right direction to look for that. In that seeking, just by the fact of tuning into our longing, the evidence that there is an ox becomes clear. The evidence that, of course, there is something I can do. There is something within that can be looked at and can be transformed. The moment we give some energy to that longing, we just follow that first intuition, maybe there is something. Then it's as if life gives us a sense of, yes, there is something. Here the person for the first time sees the steps, how you say, the tracks. The prints, the footprints on the sand or on the ground of the ox. When we see those footprints, many times we come to a meditation retreat with the curiosity. Which shape is the ox? We just see the footprints, but how is the ox? Could I possibly see it? Could I live with the ox? But still the ox is not seen, it's just the footprints. We keep on in touch with our longing. And we see the ox far there. Almost not possible to see, but somehow we guess we are seeing it. And we see it, we have a glimpse of that. But still nothing concrete. We keep in touch with the longing. Then we finally see the ox. So we see that which we were longing for. Let's say, finally, we see that potential within. Very clearly. Is there. There is no doubt that there is something I can do to awaken that. And yet, the moment we see that which we were longing for, this ox, We have these two things at the same time. One is the happiness of having found, the happiness of having seen that which I was looking for, and at the same time, somehow the tragedy of discovering that this ox is a complete mess. This many times happens when we come to meditation retreat. We come and, I envision this week full of peace. And the moment we tune in and see what's happening within, the first thing we see is a huge mess. Many times. We were a mess before coming to the retreat already. It's not that the retreat makes you a mess, hopefully. But in the seeing, in the looking in, we see the mess that was there. And it's that moment where we start thinking, uh-oh, I kind of prefer to be like before. I kind of would prefer not to see that mess. That I could just keep living for my university degree, for my job, for my family, whatever it is. But it's too late. And we see ourselves just like having to deal with that ox and having to almost fight with it, having to find a way to be with that rain of thoughts and those sensations and that anger and rejection and excitement and all this and more. We start to learn to deal with that, to play with that, almost by protecting, almost as a reaction to protect ourselves. There is so much going on that we just do like escape this thought or make this trick or follow the breath or do something that would make our time better, would make our mess less obvious. But by doing that, we start somehow finding a way to live with this mess, with this ox, with what we are, whatever that is, the whole thing, the whole package. And we start to feel that we are somehow learning to be with ourselves. And slowly, slowly, there is not only fight what is going on or trying to fix or trying to get rid of, but slowly, slowly, there are also moments of enjoyment, of just, yes, all this is going on, and yet I'm alive. And yet this is amazing. This ability to be with everything which is going on and at the same time somehow see through. So that even without everything being transformed, there is a sense of, in a relaxed way, to have known somehow how to live with that, how to be with that, or seeing that and at the same time seeing the illusion of that, we could say, or seeing how all of that is not the last word, it's not all there is. It's a lot, if we want, but it's not all there is. There is something else. We start to be able to ride the ox. to have peaceful walks with the ox, with ourselves. There is a moment, there is a time when we even say the struggle is finished. It's not a struggle anymore. It's just so enjoyable. No? There is these people that go on and on speaking about how much peace they find in meditation. How much peace, how much peace, how much peace. There is no struggle anymore, there is no sense of having to do much about it. There is no sense to having to fight or to change anything. There's a sense of relaxation, there is no struggle anymore. But still, me and my wonderful meditations are there. The sense of the ox, the sense of the shadows or the problems, the struggles is gone. There is nothing to do. You can go to Tiruvannamalai if you want to listen a lot about that, to hear this. Tiruvannamalai is in the south of India. There is this mountain that is really powerful and beautiful. The only problem is the people around it. But anyway. It's a collection of people around the world that happen to love to go there and confirm and reconfirm themselves about how there is nothing to do. And you go to have a coffee and you hear all the, you walk on the street, you hear all the time the same discourse. How wonderful. There is nothing to do. Sometimes I ask them, what the hell are you doing here then? Just to stay where you live, you know? If there is nothing to do, why to take a plane and to come to this mountain? All the energy of this. Then you are looking for something. Call it energy, call it confirm yourself in every word. Nothing to do but me and my wonderful meditations still there. Further on, since that even me and my wonderful meditations are gone, there is no ox to fight with, and there is no one meditating. A sense of falling into the simplicity of everything, into the naturalness without words, without having to say, how amazing this tree. It's so obvious. It's so, my Zen master used to say, it's so aplastante. No? It's a Spanish word, but I don't know how to translate. It's like smashing, like this smashing reality of things. That whatever you say, like beautiful or nasty, is totally extra. Like it's makes no sense to say, you know, anything you say is just too much, no? It's way much simpler than whatever we could say, whatever, you know. So this is just falling into the raw reality. It's beautiful, this story, because all the every single moment has its beauty and its danger. No? Many times in that is, oh my God, death and life are the same. And then the mind comes in, therefore, there's no problem in killing anyone. And it's like, wait a second, how do we jump? How did you jump from death and life, same, same, into there is no problem, I can kill someone? This is a huge jump. Seeing the naturalness of everything just appearing and disappearing, or the action of killing. So in that point there is a falling or dropping of all the ideas of good and bad, and many times there is the fear, because we have been so much trained in this is good, this is bad. And there's the fear of, what will be my chair? In which law I'm going to sit? No? And yet it's a wonderful moment of just, yes, life and death, same, same, yes. Being in the source, sitting on the source. And then it's very funny because I didn't see those 10 drawings for a long time. So I was not remembering exactly how, like, the first, the second, the third. So I looked up in the internet, of course. And the funny thing is that the first page that opened about this ox was a kind of a, this story and the drawings made kind of for school of Buddhism, something like that. So the last one, I find it very tricky, that says, it's returning to help all sentient beings. And it's so school of Buddhism, this last one. The one that I remember was a guy, fat like that, when I in the drawing. And the title was Back into the Market. And it just seems much simpler than to come back, to save, to help all sentient beings. I mean, Zen Master didn't write that. Why isn't the website? I'm going to write them. This is not a bad interpretation. Even if this is what happens naturally. Even if this is what happens. There is no drive for such a help. Save all sentient beings. This is what accidentally happened when they are not two. But hell is there. I love much better Back to the Market. Back to the Market. There is a long way, of course, we cannot speak about those 10 drawings in 5 minutes, but as we know, it's a long process. And again, it doesn't necessarily need to be like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you know, it just keeps on changing and dancing from now, like, now I'm fighting, now I'm relaxing, now me and my meditation, now me and my ox. But somehow this need to wake up the longing that I feel is totally a part of a human being, the waking up of the longing. And somehow the need to go through all of that, all of the mess. And even though each one of us is totally different, and we all experience things differently, it is really amazing how we can speak about those drawings and it will make sense to everyone. You may relate more to the fighting or to the riding or whatever, but it's just amazing how it seems that we have to go through this. And it is funny that we have to go through all of this just to go back to the market. We were in the market. Now we have to go all these around looking for spiritual teachers, traveling to India, then go to do some shamanic stuff over there, then swimming in the river, the Ganga, almost killing yourself. You know, just believing that some god will pass by, and you know, being with the monkeys in Rishikesh, and then here with the rain, or burning in Dharmaloka in Spain in August, it doesn't matter. All this we have to go, and we do have to do it. Everyone in its different way and with its own taste. But we do seem to have to do all this just to get back to the market, the same market with the same potatoes and lettuce and oranges, the same. So it is time to go to the market, and there is the fear of leaving behind the peace that we had been gaining, in theory, through the days. And it is essential not to do this dichotomy, how you say it, this... not to break down these two worlds. It is dangerous to be hanging in the, I want to be in that state always. I see many of those people. You can also come to India to see them, but they are everywhere. And we, many of us have gone through times of that. Nothing of the world is interesting anymore. Everything, like nothing makes sense. Nothing makes sense. It's all too low for me. I just want to hang out in that state. I just want to lie down or sit, and be in that state. And there is something really needed sometimes and wise to follow sometimes in that. It is true that sometimes we have to do a stop in our busy lives, even longer than retreat. Some people need to actually go off and be a pilgrim or sadhu or whatever, to deeply check in all of this, to deeply find out. But it is also essential to listen close enough so that when we hear that it's time to go back to the market, we can go. Don't hang over there only. And we do live in a kind of a life that is complex. It's not easy. Like, it's not easy to embrace everything, all its diversity, all the diversity of life. We are not monks or nuns, or if someone is monk or nun, please let me know. So there are many challenges. There are challenges also being monks and nuns. I was a nun, and I'm not a nun.